Father, we pray that you may teach us now by your Holy Spirit. Give us open ears and soft hearts to hear, receive, and obey your word. We pray this for your name's sake. Amen. So today is the final in our sermon in our vision series. God has called us as his people here at St. George's to be the light on the hill. We exist, I'm going to see whether you can remember this for those of you who are here regularly. We exist to see people, number one, drawn to the light of Christ. Number two, transformed by the light of Christ. Well done, everyone. And number three, sent out to shine the light of Christ. You guys did much better than 8 o'clock. We're also celebrating today Barbara and Marcelo declaring their faith in Christ, confirming the promises made in their baptism, bringing Julian for a baptism. Fantastic. And I've been kind of thinking, okay, how can I bring these two things together in a sermon? Baptism being sent out to shine the light of Christ. And I thought, well, actually, this is what the Apostle Peter's first letter is all about. Peter begins his letter with a declaration of our identity as Christians. And this is proclaimed in our baptism. And then from the middle of chapter 2 onwards, Peter says, all right, this is who you are in Christ. Now this is how you are to live. And the same is true for us. At the end of each of our services, we pray a prayer asking God to send us out in the power of the Holy Spirit to love and to serve God and our neighbor. Or to put it in terms of our vision, we are sent out to shine the light of Christ. And so this morning we're going to look at those two points. Number one, baptism, the new identity Jesus gives us. And number two, being sent into the world to shine the light of Christ. And if you're here today and maybe you're not a Christian, my hope is that this would be a terrific window through which you can see what it means to be a Christian. All right, well, point one, have a look with me. 1 Peter, chapter 1. After his initial address, Peter breaks into joyful praise in verse 3. Praise be to the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. Why does Peter praise God? Because, he continues, in his great mercy, he has given us new birth into a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead and into an inheritance that can never perish, spoil, or fade. This new birth is a reference to baptism. In John chapter 3, Jesus says, no one can enter the kingdom of God unless they are born of water and the Spirit. And in 2 Corinthians chapter 5, St. Paul says that if anyone is in Christ, they are a new creation. The old has gone and the new has come. In our baptism and confirmation classes this week, we looked at what a sacrament is. A sacrament is an outward and visible sign of an inward spiritual reality. They're given by Jesus to us. And so in baptism, the outward visible sign, what did we see today? Pouring water over Julian's head. The inward spiritual reality is the new birth given by the Holy Spirit. Baptism is what the church does in obedience to Jesus' command. The Holy Spirit does that internal work to give us spiritual new birth, making us a new creation, applying to us personally the finished work of Christ's forgiveness on the cross. And we receive this by faith, trusting God's promises. That's what Marcelo and Barbara have come to do today, to confirm for themselves the promises made on their behalf when they were infants, and to declare these promises for Julian, that they belong to Jesus, that they will follow him, And in baptism, they claim his promises for themselves, that Christ died for them, that his forgiveness is for them and for their child. The Apostle Peter tells us in these verses the difference that the new birth of baptism makes in a person's life. First, it's a new birth into a living hope. We live in a world full of despair and death, but we have a hope and a future that is alive. Why? Because this hope is through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead. Not only has Jesus died for our sins, he has also risen from the grave, conquering death itself. And he stands as a living human being at the right hand of God in heaven. When we are baptized into Christ. We become members of his body, the church. And he is the living one because he is alive and our lives are hidden in him. We have a living hope. And second, we are given new birth into an inheritance, verse 4, that can never perish, spoil, or fade. This is the language of family and identity. To be born into a family is to inherit a name, a family story, and depending on your family fortune, maybe even a future inheritance, if you're lucky. So it is in baptism that we are given a new name. In fact, our Christian name, the name by which we will be known by everyone. This is why the baptism of infants has traditionally been called christening in English culture, and why we still sometimes call our first name our Christian name. It is a new name because we are born again, made a new creation. The old has gone. And so Peter will go on to write how God has called us out of darkness and into his wonderful light. How God has redeemed us from the empty way of life handed down by our ancestors through the blood of Christ. And therefore, as people who have been brought from death to life, who are born into God's family, Peter says we are to bear the family likeness, to live as holy and obedient children of God. And so in the promises we've heard Barbara and Marcelo make today, they declared that they turned to Christ, that they repented of their sins, that they reject all selfish living and all that is false and unjust, that they renounce Satan and all that is evil. And it's the same for all of us who have been baptized. As God's holy people, these things can have no part in our lives. They belong to the old life, which has died in baptism, and we now live in Christ and for him. And our future is secure. We have an inheritance kept in heaven for us, verse 4. When my granddad died, he left me an inheritance of some $50,000, about enough to put a deposit down on a house. I don't earn enough money to then pay off mortgage, but anyway. As a young man, this was an extraordinary amount of money. But it's not really that much, is it? It's only about the average, it's actually less than the average annual salary in Tasmania. The inheritance God has for us is the future that he has prepared, the new heavens and the new earth, the home of righteousness, a perfect kingdom of peace and justice, the extraordinary perfect bliss of seeing him face to face. That is our family fortune, all the riches of glory. And what's more, Peter says in verse 5, that we, through faith, are shielded by God's power until the coming of the salvation that's ready to be revealed in the last time. Oh, yes, we may have to suffer grief in all kinds of trials in this life, without a doubt. Those of you who are aging can tell us what the trials of a long life are. And yet God will use these to refine us like gold so that we may shine to his glory. And in this, he himself shields us with his mighty power. We need not be afraid, no matter what the world throws at us, not sickness or aging of body or mind, not financial, not financial worries, not job insecurity, not the slander or attacks of others, not even our own doubts. Because God himself is our shield. Okay, because God himself, he's our shield. He's our refuge, our strong tower. We only need trust in him. Our experience is one of faith and not sight. We trust in Christ and we look forward to the day of salvation when he returns and we will see him face to face. And so Peter writes, though you have not seen him, you love him. And even though you do not see him now, you believe in him and are filled with an inexpressible and glorious joy for your receiving the end result of your faith, the salvation of your souls. It has been a delight to see this joy in Marcelo and Barbara this year. They have experienced many trials and difficulties here in Tasmania. And yet, in finding Christ, I can see this joy, the joy of the Holy Spirit in their lives. They've stepped out in faith and made some very big decisions, but they've done so trusting they are shielded by God's power, that he has their future secure. And all of this is our inheritance, this new unshakable identity given to us by Christ, signified in baptism, sealed by the Holy Spirit, new birth. That new identity changes how we see ourselves and also our relationship with the world around us. Did you see how Peter began in verse 1? By naming us as God's elect, that is chosen by God, and yet also exiles scattered throughout the world. Later in chapter 2, verse 11, he will call us foreigners and exiles. Marcel and Barbara have known something of this, being foreigners in this strange land of Tasmania, exiled for a time from their home in Chile. But actually, the Apostle Peter says, this is true for all of us. Our true home is heaven, the New Jerusalem, the city of God. We are journeying through this life towards that home. And so we find ourselves as foreigners and exiles in the city of men, scattered across the nations of this world. Many people talk about not fitting in, feeling out of place, not even at home in their own bodies? Well, according to the Bible, this text here, that is absolutely right. Because we are made for the glory of the new creation. We're made for the resurrection of the body. We shouldn't expect to feel quite at home in this life, in our mortal and wounded bodies. We were made for glory. That sense of alienation is because we are exiled from the garden and we long to be back home in the presence of God. But through baptism, we are given a new name, a secure inheritance. We are born into a new family, God's family, the church. We have a foretaste of glory with people from every tribe and language and nation gathering together, worshiping the Father through the Son by the Holy Spirit. We experience the Holy Spirit transforming us from one degree of glory to another, making us more like Christ. This is church. What we're here together, we get to see it. It's very gentle, it's often subtle, glorious nonetheless. Well, how then should we live as citizens of heaven, journeying through the city of men, longing for the city of God? Well, that brings us to point two. We are sent to shine the light of Christ. Have a look with me. 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 11. Dear friends, I urge you as foreigners and exiles to abstain from sinful desires which wage war against your soul. Live such good lives among the pagans that though they accuse you of doing wrong, they may see your good deeds and glorify God on the day he visits us. How are we to live as foreigners and exiles, loved and chosen by God? It's very simple here, isn't it? Say no to sin in our lives and do good to our neighbours. That's it. Very simple. It's hard work doing that. Let's explore a little bit more. Did you notice that Peter in these verses again begins with our identity? In fact, this is what he says immediately before verse 11 there. And this is addressed to each one of us here together. You are a chosen people. You are a royal priesthood. You are a holy nation, God's special possession, that you may declare the praises of him who called you out of darkness into his wonderful light. Once, you were not a people, but now you are the people of God. Once you had not received mercy, but now you have received mercy. What a magnificent description of the church. This is what we are baptized into. This is who we are. And did you notice our task is twofold? First, to declare the praises of him who called us out of darkness into his marvelous light. We do that as we come together each week and sing praises in worship. We do this as we share Christ with our neighbors, our colleagues, our friends, and family. It's why Peter goes on to say that we should always be ready to give an answer to anyone who asks us to give the reason for the hope that we have. Now, of course, we do this with gentleness and respect, but we're ready to speak to give an answer. And second, our task is to live good lives among our neighbours. Now, notice that Peter expects that we will be among our neighbours. Peter expects our neighbours will know that we are Christians. He expects that they will see the difference that Christ makes in our lives, and how we live will have an effect on them. Peter expects that we will be public disciples. The Christian faith is personal, but it is not private. It is public. I'm sure Peter has in mind those words we heard from Jesus in Matthew 5. You are the light of the world. A city on a hill cannot be hidden. Neither do people light a lamp and put it under a bowl. That would be absurd. You don't turn on a light and then cover it up. No, you put it on its stand and it gives light to everyone in the house. In the same way, Jesus says, let your light shine before others that they may see your good deeds and glorify your Father in heaven. That's the third movement of our mission as St. George's. As we see people, God drawing people to the light of Christ, transforming each one of us by the light of Christ. Well, so we, each of us, are sent out to shine the light of Christ. We've tried to summarize that as follows in our vision booklet. Here we go. We bless others through our character and service and testify to God's love in Christ at work in us and in his world. Being a Christian is about the whole of life. Christ's light needs to shine in every part of our lives so that none of them are in darkness. No part of our life is in darkness. But also so that he can shine through all areas of our life. How we relate to other people, our families, our colleagues, our enemies. How we think, how we use the gifts and resources he's given us, how we speak, how we act, how we do our work, how we use our leisure. All of these can be occasions for us to offer ourselves and what we do in worship to God for his glory, so that we may shine the light of Christ. God has so much good for us to do in this world. And when we live and work to God's glory, loving and serving our neighbors, God uses his light to shine. Uses us to make his light shine and make this world a better place. St. George's is a sending church. We've sent Mark and Joey to do this work, to work with Wycliffe in Germany. Sent Andy Maskell to work with the students at UTAS. We've sent Clara working in Sierra Leone. We've prayed for them today. In a month, we're going to be sending Marcelo and Barbara and Julian back home to Chile. Actually, God sends each one of us out from here each week. We've been drawn to worship God through Christ. We're fed by Christ, transformed by the Holy Spirit as we meet together around his word and at his table. Anchored in the new birth, the living hope Christ has given us. And so we're sent out among our neighbors, say no to sin, to do good, to shine the light of Christ. And so, my brothers and sisters, will you give yourself again to this glorious calling, to the praise of our God and Saviour? Let me pray. Father, may we offer ourselves to you as a living sacrifice through Jesus Christ our Lord. Please send us out in the power of your Spirit to live and work to your praise and glory. Amen.